Good afternoon. No.
Literally never.
Never once have we said that. I'm trying something new. Why can't I try something new?
It's not working. Okay, we can't even get into the episode.
Here we go. Here we go.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Bits. I'm Quinn.
Hey everyone, this is Claire.
Hi everyone, this is Paulina.
We should probably just tell you that that literally took us 1 minute and 8 seconds to just literally get the opening done because
look,
we can't today. Our brains are broken.
We're a little off. We're a little shooketh after the most recent Oilers game. What are you going to do?
Game five, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to get out of bed this morning.
I didn't get out of bed until 15 minutes before I left. Yeah, so
that's true. That's true.
You know, here we are.
We're going to get through it.
Will we? I don't know. First of all, I want to shout out Arcadia Brewing because we have some nice brews right in front of us right now.
Yeah, we're trying out their Coliseum Blondale, which, you know, it's getting me back in the mood for a positive game six. And then they also gave us some of their Hazy Pale Ale, the Whistle Pig, which... big fan of a hazy pale ale. So thank you to Darren and Arcadia for hooking us up.
Yeah. If you're looking for some beers to drink for the game on Saturday, I think these are a lovely choice. Or go watch the game at Arcadia.
It's an awesome place to watch
the game. It is actually a great place to watch the game. And they've got the actual Coliseum seats in there.
Yeah.
So good juju maybe? I don't know.
A lot of good years in the Coliseum, a lot of bad years in the Coliseum. So you know what? It's a 50-50 shot.
I think that's
you know
fair.
What?
I think that's what, fair. That's you know any stadium or arena.
You know what's good juju is better reffing. I'm joking. Oh, I'm okay. Joking, but
diving
that's just
right
gonna,
in.
Well, you, let's get into
you
it.
You know how I feel about the whiny babies complaining about the refs. And I mean that it with every fan base that are in the playoffs right now. If their team loses, it's like in the comments, like, oh, refs won this one tonight, or like it refs in your pocket. Like, it's so like it's a playoff series. There's going to be bad calls here and there. It happens on both
and
sides.
And just calls in general. Like, that is their job to make calls.
It doesn't mean that that's what won the game. I think people just need to get over it and find a better outlet for their frustration.
Yeah. And it's just you have to remember that these refs are human. So yes, of course there's going to be misses. I can tell you right now, every fan base is bad, but Vancouver, shame on you for throwing garbage on the ice because that is absolute garbage.
Are we surprised?
No.
I mean, we're not surprised.
And we're disappointed.
If things don't go their way in Vancouver, it just turns into absolute pandemonium.
Yeah, and this is a game they won. What happens if they lose? Wait, we know what happens when they lose.
Yeah, exactly. The city burns to the ground. But the thing is, like what you said, Paulina, where everybody in the playoffs, if the game is lost, they're blaming the refs. They're blaming the refs and they're winning games. Like, they're just... it's so whiny, and I don't know if anybody else agrees with me where that is their entire personality right
yes.
now. As a Vancouver fan, it is to bitch about the refs. And I do think that Oilers fans do it too, for sure.
Of course.
But look at that 4-minute call on Kane last game, or game four. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody say anything about that. And he deserved it. He should have got that.
Yeah.
I cannot... imagine if that was a Canucks, like against the Canucks.
Yeah.
It would have been all you heard about.
It
would have
been
just
some
like,
conspiracy.
Yeah.
That the refs are, that it's all rigged, or the refs are like playing for the Oilers.
Sick of it.
And it's just, it's obnoxious. They might be like the whiniest fan base
of all time.
Well, I don't know, but certainly it feels that way right now.
Well, we're just in the middle of it, right?
So yeah, that's true.
I'm sure in the East, like, somebody is just like so upset with the Boston fans
something
like that.
No,
right?
And so. When I say every fan base, I mean on the East, like, series.
Oh yeah.
Like when those teams lose, when Boston loses or Carolina, anyone, it's the refs' fault. And
yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, way to go, refs. Like, guys, like,
come on,
like, get something better. Like, and the funny thing too is Vancouver fans I don't think they even know what they're talking about the rules are, half the time. I don't think they know what the rules are. I think they just showed up and decided that they're the biggest Canucks fan of all time mm-hmm. as soon as the Canucks made the playoffs, because I promise we didn't see those people in the regular season.
No. I will say a lot of the times Oilers fans are warranted, because Connor McDavid could have 15 penalties called a game. He could draw 15 penalties a game.
And people use that as a reason to complain, he's soft. And it's like, no, he's just really fast and people can't catch him, so they slash him.
So they use cheating to slow him down. You know what? I think that probably the worst thing we could do right now is like stand by Oilers fans and say that everybody else is bad. No. So like, because we do know, like Paulina and I were at the game. We were at game 3 and the people around us were not incredibly enjoyable. And by people, I mean the men around us were not incredibly enjoyable. A lot of complaining. Some really sexist jokes.
Oh yeah. Homophobic jokes, sexist jokes. We were sitting in the degenerate section of the arena,
Where my season tickets are, so it's pretty disappointing, but that's what you get with the playoffs, because the season seat holders are looking to make a buck. So they're selling to people, and the people who can afford it come in and think that they now own the place. And because like the one guy behind us was complaining that he spent $400 on seats. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And I was like, actually, no, that doesn't allow you to do whatever you want. Please leave the female usher alone.
Oof.
Was a Canucks fan, though, that guy.
Even
Canuck, and there was an Oilers
fan there.
Yeah,
too.
Unfortunately.
Majority of the people in our section like were really loud, obnoxious Oilers fans. And then there was like the odd Canucks fan that was like also insufferable. Credit to the two Canucks fans that were sitting directly beside me. And you know, I didn't want to sit by them.
I made her.
But I was like, all right, whatever. We can be civil. And they were just, they kind of sat quietly and did their thing. And they cheered when their team got a goal. So like,
we're getting really specific though. Like, I think there is throughout the stadium, throughout Rogers Arena, we were seeing Rogers Place. There was the guy at the penalty box was the door off, that video that was going around where he's swearing at him and giving him the middle finger. Like, is that who we want to be as Oilers fans? We heard a story yesterday of a friend of ours who was sitting and his elderly father was punched because an idiot Vancouver fan and an idiot Oilers fan went at each other.
Yes.
And in the lower bowl of Rogers Place, like, what is going on? Why is this happening? And is this who we want to be? Like, I really hope that, you know, the beers on the ice, we're calling them out for it. I do believe we can be better than that. Like, game 6 is our opportunity to keep it classy.
And it's just like that NHL commercial, like, make Canada proud.
Right. And like, we don't have to cheer for one another.
We don't have to cheer for one another, Boston Pizza. But you know what?
Be decent humans.
We can be humans, and we can just enjoy a really great series. It is back and forth. It is an absolute battle between two good teams. Frankly, unfortunately, for Oilers fans, the Vancouver Canucks have proven to be worthy opponents.
Yeah.
And I think that a few of us went in and thought, I mean, me included, I didn't think that they would have enough scoring to be able to beat the Oilers. And I just thought that their trajectory started very high in the season, and they started to come down near the end of the season. The Oilers almost caught them. And I thought that maybe that was like a sign that they started well, but they've proven me wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm just sucking it up.
We didn't expect Shelov or like their, you know, backup goalie to be like the fucking Berlin Wall.
Yeah, he's played really well.
He has. I mean, it's a great story, playoff story, I'll be honest.
Listen, if the Oilers came out in game 5 with the give a fuck factor that all their fans have, we would be laughing right now. They did not show up last game in the way they needed to win it. And I'm really hopeful that just like every other game, when they kind of shit the bed, they come out super strong the next game. I have a question for you ladies, because this is one that's going around town. Who do you start in net? Who do you start in net? Do you go with
Pickard? Played really well last night. I go with Pickard.
Played unreal. However, I don't know. Do you start Skinner? Because we know that Skinner bounces back. He's rested now.
Yeah,
he helped get the team here.
He's had a few days to get his head right.
We don't know. Does Pickard hasn't even played back to back like he has now. But, you know, does he have it in him? Does he have a third game in a row in him? We don't know. We haven't seen that before. Do you go on the unknown or do you go on the probable factor that Skinner should come out super strong?
It's just a tricky, it's a tricky position because no matter, like, it's just, it feels so scrambly. And I understand that the Oilers, our guests, are now scrambling. I just wish that you could, like, present with more composure. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, it's just, like, yeah, like, we believe in this guy, and so we're going to stand with him right now, and we're, like, going with it, right? But they didn't do that with Skinner, and so now do you not do that with Pickard?
But the thing is, like, so say Pickard starts, say things don't go well, and he gets pulled. Ugh. Then you put in Skinner? That would be awful. Whereas the other way around feels better to me.
Well, if you pull Skinner, that fancy feels awful too. And then if they end up winning the series, now you've, like, messed with Skinner's head.
I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't like, and I'm always this way, and I might be incorrect in saying this because, like, obviously they're professionals and they have sports psychologists. I'm just mentally weak when it comes to sports. So, like, I would be damaged for the rest of my life.
I don't think this is.
Well, no, but I always think that with goalies, they are known as heady. They all are, right? I mean, it's such a weird position to play. I just always think you mess with them when you pull, like, when you take them out of a game and you start your backup or vice versa, you know? And I just, like, so I was already troubled when they started Pickard, and now we're talking about going back, and I'm just like, what are we doing? Like,
well, I'm scared either way. I think starting Pickard was the right call, though.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But
like,
I just
troubled for Skinner and putting him back in the game, you mean?
Yeah. And then what do you do to Pickard? So now you've told him that he wasn't good enough, even though he played
well. I think he has been getting the job done the last couple games. And I would prefer to play it safe and keep him there.
I think he could honestly, like, he is the backup goalie. I feel like Pickard is mentally strong enough to get it if they were to start Skinner. But I'm not confident either way. Like, I'm scared either way. I don't know what to expect. And
yeah,
that's what's,
I know,
scary.
I think you stick with that, because also in game four, I mean, yes, they ended up winning. Vancouver got two ugly goals. They got a lot of puck luck in that game. And so, like, I don't put, like, you know, both of them went off Darnell Nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't put anything on Pickard for that one. So when you say, like, he comes out in game six and it doesn't go well, but why would you say that it wouldn't go well?
History.
There isn't history of that, though.
Right.
Because he's played well for two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's just my feeling.
Why do I think Pickard wouldn't play well?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he would not play well. It's more like we don't know.
If the team in front of them doesn't play well enough and hangs Pickard out to dry and he gets scored on four times in the first period, that's on the team. That's not on the goalie, right?
So I just
think, like, it's like Pickard has played two really good games. I think you're insane to switch that out.
Yeah, no, very good points. I mean, one thing that I left feeling positive, as well as, you know, Pickard standing on his head, the third and fourth lines seem to really kind of pick it up. Kane had
scored
a game.
Oh, thank
and
heavens.
Derek Ryan with the shots, like, he was out for it, and that was positive. We need more of that.
Yeah. I completely agree. They need that. And, like, it's about time. And so now game six and seven, I mean, the thing is, the fourth game is the hardest to win. But no team has been able to win two games in a row in this series.
Right.
But this was the same when they played the LA Kings 3 years ago. And I thought there's no way the Oilers winning game seven because the team hasn't been able to win two in a row. And it happened. So we just got to
live in
the moment and drink Coliseum Blondale
until
and Whistling Pig.
I'm going to be drinking a lot of Coliseum Blondale.
Actually, I've heard that this is actually based off the old Coliseum beers, which if you hung out at the old Coliseum, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a full body experience.
Oh, yeah.
You get
the heroin beer.
Numb face. It's basically taking
a drug.
It's taking a probiotic, essentially. It's good for your gut health because there's lots of bacteria.
For sure.
We cannot substantiate that it was good bacteria, but we are going to go with that. We were young and enthusiastic, and things just went well for us when we drank those beers.
So we've got, we had a hot, you know, first line, second line, then they went, have gone dormant. Third and fourth lines have come alive. So maybe game six is where it all comes together. Fingers crossed.
I love your optimism, thank you, both of you.
Well, yes. And I hate to be too hard on the first and second lines. Like, I'll just say that. I am always, you know, like even last night, you know, or I am always, I mean, you know, I'm always an optimist.
Yes.
But, and I hate to be too hard on the top two lines. I can't imagine genuinely how tired they are. Like, mm-hmm. I just, they've been carrying the team
big time
for a while.
Totally,
right?
Fair. And they're defending
and
them.
And so
like crazy.
I always just, and the thing is with, they've been saying it all along, the Oilers can't rely on Leon and Connor every single night. They cannot. So other lines have to step up, right? So here we go.
Here we go. God. But you know what? We're still in it. We need to not act like we're out, which I think a lot of us are.
We woke up. They lose a game and everybody, like, it's like the end of the world, and they come back and win the next one. So.
Yeah. So
when you say everybody,
we're going into it positively. Yes.
I'm fine. I don't know.
No, most people, like, it just turns. Yeah. Most people. And I'm never, as you guys know, I'm never like that.
No,
I'm always just like, it's one game. It was one play. Both teams now have given up the lead in the last minute of the game, which is crazy. But it shows resilience on both teams that mm-hmm. they've both been able to like come back from it. And, you know, so yep. It's just two good teams. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could probably talk about this for a really long time and will. But I wanted to maybe switch gears. There's switch sports, and
let's talk about the ladies.
So we attended the WNBA game, the preseason game that was here. It was unreal.
So fun.
So well done. Such good energy. Kia Nurse, just an absolute star on the mic. She was
beast.
So great.
But also just loved seeing Cameron Brink in person.
Yeah, all of it.
Agreed.
I was a little starstruck.
Oh, it was awesome. And just this week, they're talking about, they've moved some games. So the LA Sparks are going from a 4,000-plus arena to Crypto, which is cryptoarena.com. Crypto.com arena.
Baby.
20,000 seats. Like, that is so exciting. And then also, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but they are no longer in Gen Pop on flights. They now have chartered flights.
They're going PJs.
Yeah. How cool is that? Like, good for them.
It means that they got some money. Yeah. And yeah, my dad flew commercial with the Oilers through the 80s and into the 90s. And that's not an easy go. Wow. It is very difficult because there's a lot of connections and it's not easy to get to Florida from Edmonton.
And they've been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for ages. So exciting for just the whole organization. And we know that Toronto's getting a team.
Yeah. The WNBA is on fire right now. And I couldn't be more excited.
Me too. And speaking of ladies and keeping on theme, how do we crack that nut for the PWHL? Because
it's a little different. The vibes are a little different.
They don't have names or logos yet for their teams. They're getting lots of positive attention, what they absolutely deserve. But have you seen the walk-ins? Like the drip that comes from the WNBA, those ladies are like, it is something else. And
first
then
of all, it's like, I'm just going to call it what it is. It's kind of hot.
Yep. Yep.
As a straight girl, I can even admit that. Yeah.
And it's just, there's this like swagger and drip, like, absolutely. And you're just like, this is fucking cool. This is awesome. Yeah. We don't really get that vibe
from the PWHL. And like, they've got the attention. They're getting, you know, the content, but it's how do we fast forward 20 years so the PWHL has that like X factor?
So I will say, in defense of the PWHL, because it's the same on the men's side with the NBA and with the NHL, the style, the swagger. It is all different. It's a very different culture in basketball.
There is a cool factor to basketball that hockey does not carry.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I think that there is a cool factor with hockey, but like different. if you even look to like 14-year-olds, they're expected to wear suits to their game, mm-hmm. right? And it's just like they're not even allowed to basically bring their own style from like a young age, right? Whereas like, and then you have like basketball players, like they're wearing track suits, they're wearing what they want, they're like being super stylish.
Oh,
like,
look at the NFL players when they arrive.
It's a very different culture, right? Like hockey is just, despite its toxic past and hopefully no longer toxic future, it's very like... straight.
Yeah.
Straight like edge. It's just very straight edge.
Yeah. Like I'll never, speaking the NFL, get out of my head this past season seeing Jason Kelce walk in sweatpants and flip flops and not give a flying fuck
about
it.
But
and
that's just, the thing. That's part of his style.
I know. It's amazing.
But
it's
you
amazing.
Have sense of personal style yes. when you're arriving on scene there like is a, for a game.
There's a bit of that happening in the PWHL, but I would love to see that for them. They have the star power. Like they have what it takes to put out like an amazing product and get the eyes that it deserves. But we are not getting the same level of hype as the WNBA is getting right now. And I just want that for them so bad. They deserve it.
I mean, it's certainly like the length of time. We've talked about it. The PWHL was put together quite quickly. But I think they will get there. I think it also doesn't help. Like we're in the West. Mm-hmm. We're in Edmonton and everything for the PWHL is out East. Right. Sure. And so we don't have that same connection either. But I mean, I guess we don't have the same connection to the WNBA. Okay. So I'm out of excuses for the PWHL.
No, it'll come.
Different cultures. It'll come. They're getting the crowd, which is probably the most important thing right now.
It's a good start. Yeah. I mean, like next is the naming and let's just hope that they don't go with some of the original names that were being thrown around. And
the Ottawa Alert.
Sound. Echo. Just not even like anything specific, just a sound.
Ping.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, we ripped into some of those.
What do you think the sound is? Whoosh.
Oh my gosh. We are in a new era. I think we all know that. I want to say really quickly. So I'm not a big Croc fan, but my son is. And so I was buying him some new Crocs.
I love Crocs.
Because he blew through his last ones. And do you know which ones he wanted to buy? The WNBA ones.
Oh, yes.
Kaden.
He really, really wanted those. They were double the price. So we did not. I did get him some WNBA gibbets to make up for that. If you're not familiar with what a gibbet is, Quinn, I can fill you in later. I got eyes.
It's what you attach into the Crocs, right? Yeah. That was just a guess, but it made sense to me.
But yeah, like it's very cool to see, you know, like I've heard of other people saying, you know, they're playing basketball and someone passes it out to one of the players and it's a guy and they're like Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
I'm hearing that stuff and it's just so awesome.
No, that I'm obsessed with that. I think that's amazing.
That's what we want. So we want that for hockey too. Anyway, moving on. What else we got?
Oh, well, something was in the news this week. And honestly, my personal opinion is this has gotten a little bit more attention than I expected that it would, but here we are days later and it's still in the cycle. So
it took me a second, but I know what's happening.
And did you guys hear about this or see or listen to this Harrison Butker graduation speech? Graduation speech. And it was a little misogynistic.
He's the kicker
for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yes. So
he was invited to give a speech at a college graduation.
Yes. So I don't know where you guys stand on this. I'll be honest. I think that this got a little more attention than it deserved. He is not an incredibly famous player. He's the kicker of the, like, if you follow at the NFL closely, then you probably know who Harrison Butker is.
Yeah, but kickers don't usually get a lot of
media attention.
But if you
don't follow the NFL closely or you're not like a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you probably haven't even really heard of him. So I was a little surprised that this was getting as much juice that it was getting. And also he gave a commencement speech to a like Catholic college, like a small Catholic college, mm-hmm. not one that's well known. So I was like, yeah, this seems on brand for very like traditional Catholic like rhetoric. So if he's giving that speech at that college, like, is that really that shocking? And do I care that much?
The one thing I'll say, I think why it's getting so much play is because it was so shocking. Like, it's such a polarizing opinion. So I don't know if we've touched on it yet, but essentially it was just like extremely misogynistic and said that, like, congratulations on your graduation. By the way, women of the group, hope you're excited to be a homemaker because that's where you belong.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. So essentially saying that, yeah, women, and then also touched on pride and gay rights. And so that's also incredibly upsetting. But so
I agree where it's like, let's not give him the platform, but here's the thing. Like there are
a standing ovation.
There are a lot of Catholics that do not have that.
Of course.
Opinion.
We grew up, you and I grew up Catholic, Claire. I think this was like a very Catholic college is my...
Yes. And he received a standing ovation. So, because I did see a girl on TikTok who was in the audience. She was not one. She said, keep in mind, this is a very conservative Catholic school.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, and me and my friends booed. We got as loud as we could, but we were this small minority that were against it. And the rest got a standing ovation.
Can you imagine... sitting in that crowd, you've just put 4, maybe 5 years of your life into education and countless dollars, and you have this man who's 28 years old, by the way, not maybe a lot of life experience to draw from.
Well, but he's married,
which would matter.
Homemaker,
I don't know.
So
it doesn't matter anyways. But
his life is perfect.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to that. But imagine sitting there and having to receive that. It just makes me so uncomfortable. Like, fuck you, first of all. And second of all, when there's a moment, if you haven't watched it, there are shorter versions. So do take a peek if you're interested in try not to barf. But he gets choked up talking about how special his wife is for and how she couldn't wait to, you know, be a wife and
a mom. And yeah,
here's the thing, like. That's fine. Like, if you want to be, if that is like your ambition, that's fine. Like, I don't want to like
do that
shit on like women who want to be homemakers and like have kids. And I think that's great. But he really did kind of go in there like, this should be
your
aspiration.
It was the aspiration. Should. As soon as you say should, you're casting judgment.
And just for some context, some other comments that he made, pushing dangerous gender ideologies into the youth of America, which is obviously
inclusion.
A reference to, you know, transgender rights, just mm-hmm. like rights for them. Mm-hmm.
Human rights.
Yeah. He probably thought he was pretty clever with this one. In a swipe at, you know, I'm reading this from CNN, in a swipe at LGBTQ communities, he encouraged graduates to have Catholic pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, so.
I just can't. I can't even watch the whole thing because I just, it just makes me sick. And I just, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I just think like he is allowed to have his opinion. Mm-hmm. Like these are his values. Mm-hmm. I think it's fucked up, but like these are his values. These are his opinions. He's kind of like in his echo chamber with this speech.
Yep.
He's preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Because I think it is a very conservative Catholic college. So like, sure. I think where I think it would have been more concerning would have been if this was like a very
Stanford.
Famous,
yeah.
If this was a very famous 100%. Player that a lot of kids across America look up to. So if like Travis Kelce goes and gives a speech at like UCLA, and I'm just throwing out names here, and he starts spewing out a bunch of this like misogynistic, like homophobic garbage.
Well, he'd be single again, but.
He'd be single again and Taylor Swift would have a pretty scathing record about him. Pretty scathing album. Yeah, it would be a good one. But like, this is not against Travis Kelce. He didn't do anything wrong here. I'm just throwing out names. But if Travis Kelce got up there and made a speech of this nature, that would be concerning to me, because a lot of young boys probably look up to Travis Kelce, right? Like, nobody really probably knew who Harrison Butker was until this week.
Well, and Pat Mahomes tried to warn us. He was on Pat McAfee's show and said, I don't talk. We sit next to each other in the locker room. I don't talk to him all year. And so, but I don't, like, let's talk about the sports side of this. What do the Chiefs do now? Because frankly, you have Pat Mahomes, who has a wife who had her own influencer career. And then you also have Travis Kelce, who has the most, one of the most powerful women on the planet as a girlfriend. This is incredibly divisive.
Yeah. And he quoted her in his speech.
I don't think she would have liked that.
I don't think she would have liked it. I don't think Kelce would have liked it. But, you know, Paulina, you talked about, like, what if a big name was saying something? Well, a big name did just say something, and it was Patrick Mahomes. He was at the Time 100 Gala, and he was pumping women's sports ties.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a leader. That's exactly. A change maker. And that's, well, we'll, and that's, we want to, you know, channel our energy there.
And luckily, most people and most young boys are probably listening to Patrick Mahomes and not this speech. But, like, that's why I'm like, I think this got a little too much breath, because
fair point.
Who cares what this fucking guy thinks?
No, like, totally fair. And Kelce hasn't responded. And I love that, because he's probably like, not going to give it any air.
I don't think, like, if Harrison Butker is like a good kicker or whatever, and it doesn't affect the dynamic in the locker room and as a team, then, like, sure, whatever. Keep, like, I don't think, like, fire him, cancel him from the NFL because he gave a very traditional Catholic conservative speech at a very traditional Catholic conservative college. You know?
Listen, I have a different take. I think the play here is release him from the NFL, and I could give you a list of female kickers that could do that job very well, and I think the irony in that would be fucking amazing, and I'd love to see it. But hey, that's just my solution.
I mean, I love the script, don't get me wrong, but yeah. I don't see it happening.
No, I don't see it happening.
But I mean, if it does, again, if this is creating tension with some of the other players on the team, like if you're quoting, and by quoting, he says what my teammate's girlfriend says.
Unreal.
Like, I that also bothered me, just like the way he said, I'm like, it's Taylor Swift.
It's a Will Smith moment.
Yeah.
Keep my wife's name
but,
out of your mouth.
You know, if that's pissing off somebody like Travis Kelce, who is like a giant star of the Chiefs, like, it's Kelce and Mahomes. They are like,
there's going to be some
face. Yeah, there
repercussions.
Maybe it creates some tension. And then I could see in that case, yeah, maybe they don't want him on the team. But other than that, like, it is what it is.
Yep.
I'm kind of like,
fair
let's
point.
Move on. I don't care about this guy.
Okay, so we're going in to game six with an open heart, clear mind, positive feelings towards.
We have no reason not to.
Yeah.
Because the Oilers have shown us that they will. So.
And we want to encourage all fans to keep it classy.
Game seven. Here we go.
All right, let's do it. Okay.
Bye, friends.
Thank you for listening to The Bits. You can follow us at The Bits Yeg on Instagram and subscribe. Tell your friends. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.